A disciple of Christ is a person who has, first of all, received the Lord Jesus Christ as his or her personal Savior, and is therefore reconciled to God. And secondly, has set his whole heart, mind, and all to seek him. The disciple makes Jesus his all and forsakes everything that may stand in the way of his fellowship with Christ. Such a one has Christ for his all in all and desires nothing outside of him. Such a relationship with Christ in which he becomes our all in all is very costly. And since the Lord Jesus warns us to count the cost, let us look at the cost. Forsake sin. Becoming a disciple and remaining one will cost us the giving up of all sin. The Savior, whose disciples we want to be, separated himself from sin and lived a sinless life, so much that he was able to challenge his enemies, saying, "Which one of you accuses me of sin?" They were silent because he was perfect. So the disciple who is a learner from Jesus Christ has no choice but to learn to walk in the same way of purity. Our Savior is a holy Savior, and we cannot really come after him unless we definitely part with all the sin that is in our lives. It is impossible for a sin-hating Christ to lead a band of sin-loving disciples. When we talk of sin, we are naturally reminded of the law, the Ten Commandments. We should, however, consider also their implications. Our Lord said that looking at a woman lustfully is, in fact, committing adultery, that hatred and harboring anger against someone are equivalent to murder. Similarly, we should remember that pride includes rudeness, or considering ourselves a little better than others, that gossip is idleness and probably betrays a lack of real concern for the people that we gossip about, that drunkenness, masturbation, and reading bad books are all part of sensuality. We are often tempted to exaggerate our problems, successes, or even spiritual experiences. All exaggerations and half-truths are lies, and therefore sinful before God. Sadly, people who know the Lord Jesus, and therefore should know better, are often caught up in sins like these, and we give the world the impression that there is no victory in the Lord. This is even more hopeless when we say to each other, "We are spirit-filled," and yet continue to live in sin. If sin rules in our lives, then one thing is obvious. We are not spirit-filled. For the Holy Spirit cannot fill a dirty vessel. When the Holy Spirit wants to fill a person, he first cleanses that person of all sin, then permeates every area of that person's life, bringing it under obedience to Jesus. Where there is sin, the Holy Spirit obviously is very limited. If our attitude to sin is not settled, if we lack that spirit-created hatred for sin, and do not labor in prayer and in practice to be free from all sin, then we cannot be disciples. We may continue as Christians and even deceive ourselves that we are serving Christ. Others may think we are serving the Lord, but let us not be deceived. For God does not see as man sees. Man looks on the outside, but God looks on the heart. The Lord is looking at our hearts today. What does he see? Does he see a clean heart that hates sin? Or does he see one stained and defiled by sin? If we are sinful, then the place to begin is at the cross.